views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children.
All right. Good evening, Redding. Good evening, Shasta County. Good evening, California and America and the world. This is Sovereign Minds. I have with me Mark Kent. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How you doing tonight, Nate?
Pretty good. You know, just the same old, same old.
The fun never stops.
Yep. And if you guys would like to tune in or call in, our number here is 530-605-4567. And we're also streaming live, so you can get on there and chat if you want. I'm at www.kcnr1460.com. And right now I'd like to just quickly thank our sponsors, because without them, I guess we'd still be here. But first of all, Team Quest, it's MMA and fitness. They have mixed martial arts, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, submission wrestling, Muay Thai, boxing, I mean, just regular fitness, grappling, anything you want in that realm, it'd be a great place to go look. And you can reach them at 646-7346. That's Team Quest. And also, I would like to thank Advanced Soil Stabilization. They're using Technosoil for dust control on driveways, roads, parking lots, and pathways. Also install crushed stone driveways. You can call Todd Sykes at 530-549-4801 for more information. Advanced Soil Stabilization is green friendly and they eliminate dust, and they're also local, so it's definitely support your local companies for sure.
Well, very good. I guess today is June 5th, 2011. I guess we're going to get right to it. We have a guest today of Sheriff Tom Basanko. He'll be coming in a little bit later, and I guess I'll start out with a quote of the day, unless you got something going there, Nate.
Well, you can do the quote, and we'll talk about Libya a little bit.
Okay, very good. This is the quote of the day, and if we've got any callers that want to call in and guess it, you know, we'll provide you with a Grande Starbucks Vanilla Skinny Latte. How's that? Okay. One of the most insidious consequences of the present burden of personal income tax is that it strips many middle-class families of financial reserves and seems to lend support to campaigns for socialized medicine, socialized housing, socialized food, socialized everything. The personal income tax has made the individual vastly more dependent on the state and more avid for state handouts. It has shifted the balance in America from the individual-centered to a state-centered economic and social system. The author of that was William Henry Chamberlain. I'll read it again here. One of the most insidious consequences of the present tax burden of personal income tax is that it strips many middle-class families of financial reserves and seems to lend support to campaigns for socialized medicine, socialized housing, socialized food, socialized everything. The personal income tax has made the individual vastly more dependent on the state and more avid for state handouts. It has shifted the balance in America from an individual-centered to a state-centered centered economy and social system.
From the time they get up in the morning and flush the toilet, they're taxed. Then they go and get a coffee, they're taxed. They get into their car, they're taxed. They go to the gas station, they're taxed. They go for lunch, they're taxed. And this goes on all day long. Tax, 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 tax.
Oh, yeah. I hear you, Arnold. Trust me. Oh, I mean, what are you talking about? We're talking about federal income tax, you know?
Federal, state, local, you name it.
Because a lot of the taxes are constitutional. You know,
absolutely. And,
but we're talking about indirect tax. Yeah, indirect.
Direct tax.
Direct tax is legal.
Well, see, direct taxes were not legal prior to 1913, and then they made them legal when they, put the income tax in the 16th Amendment, I believe it was.
Yeah, isn't the direct tax what I have a direct, I can choose to do that. An indirect is be like if I'm working for you, then they tax.
No. Here's the difference between a direct and an indirect tax. An indirect tax is a tax on transactions. In other words, I'm not directly taking the money. It's based on I have to do a transaction. If I go down to the store, for example, and I buy a loaf of bread, they put a tax on that, so it's indirect. It's not taxing me directly. Directly would be taxing my wages, for example. So they take the tax before I receive my money, not on a transaction. That's why the founding fathers wanted indirect taxes, because you couldn't tax a person out of existence. They could choose to buy that good or services if they want to. On a direct tax, you don't have any choice. If you go out and make money, they take it from you before you receive the money. That's why the power tax is the power to destroy. So, you know, and I want to add to that, you know, we've been inching towards socialism for 100 years. The pundits keep telling us saying that the free market and capitalism are failing, but we haven't had a totally free market for 100 years. I mean, since the income tax was passed in the Federal Reserve Act. You know, so what's causing the markets to fail is that we're going more and more towards socialism, and the faster we go, the faster the markets are falling. You know, so all the people that want to, you know, have something for free and get it from, you know, they have to get it from somebody else, because the government doesn't produce goods or services. Other than if they do have services, it's because they've taken it from somebody else's pocket to provide the service through the income tax or various other taxes. They never make a profit. That's pretty obvious, the thing about the debt. But what happens is the bigger the government gets, the people's standard of living goes down. And people always work harder under a free market system. So, you know, that's what we're, talking about here. So, anyway, that's what we got. So,
you have trouble sleeping at night. It may be because you're a deadbeat.
I just don't understand how people want the government to take care of them. You know, I mean, whatever happened to Kennedy's saying, you know, ask what, you know, I can do for the country. We don't want to, I don't need anybody to take care of me, and I don't want that. You know, I mean, all these people that, oh, finally, I'm not going to have to pay my car payment. And,
right. I'm not going to pay my mortgage, and I'm going to have Obama money. You know, that all sounds good. But in practice, what happens is fewer and fewer people start to keep working. And pretty soon, if the majority of the population, that sounds familiar like today, is on some kind of assistance from the government, then the government starts to control people through the fact that they're dependent on them as opposed to depending on themselves.
And plus, you can't do well for yourself. Yeah, you could get by with the rest of your life. But, you know, me, I want to do well for myself. I want to have a nice have money and all that good stuff, and I want to earn it myself.
Oh, a capitalist peg you.
Exactly.
That's the deal. That's exactly the deal. If you have ambition because you want to provide more for your family, you want to, get someplace, that's what causes the work ethic in a capitalist system, is that the more people that are out there with that attitude, the more work gets done, the more goods and services are provided, and our standard of living goes up. This is not
and
rocket
better,
science.
Too.
Absolutely, across the board. You know, and I was reading a couple articles on socialism today, and, you know, there's some of these misconstrued. I mean, I was reading this one guy's article. It's like this guy was so far out to lunch, it was ridiculous. You know, he was trying to say that communism doesn't end up with a centralized government, and socialism is not a centralized government. You spread it out between the people. I mean, talk about the, eating the proverbial, I'm not even sure where I'm going, but, you know, I mean, it's just ridiculous off the charts, you know. I mean,
central government is the whole purpose of communism.
Communism, that's exactly right. I was going to say, because they just keep drinking the Kool-Aid, you know. I mean, so anyway, we got a couple of articles here.
We have a caller.
We have Sally on the line.
Oh, Sally's
ahead, Sally.
On the line. Very good. How you doing tonight, Sally?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Yeah, interesting conversation. I ran across an interesting statistic yesterday that said that of our population, 16% of our workers are government employees. Now, that doesn't sound too bad until you start thinking about, well, if 16% of our employees are government, then they each have one person, perhaps a spouse or a family member, that would also vote in their favor to keep their job or their salaries. Then we're up to 32% of our population that is either is dependent upon the government for a paycheck. So, and when we reach the 50% mark on that, where the game is over.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. But then when you start adding in all of the people who are receiving food stamps and all the people who are receiving assistance and all of the other different programs across the board, it's probably over the 50% mark, I would think.
I would assume.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, and going into that, you know, we talk about raising the debt ceiling to pay for everything. And, you know, I wanted to go ahead and let you hear this, because
what
I think this is the problem.
Failure to communicate.
I think that's the problem we're having with our politicians and our elected officials, you know, is this failure to communicate with them. You know, we don't want this to go into deeper debt and keep going with this, and because what's happening is they're getting more and more control over our economy and our lives.
Yep.
So.
Thank you, Mark.
Very good. Thanks a lot for calling in, Sally. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
See
you.
Yeah, I saw another statistic during the Depression that they were adding in all federal government workers, or all government workers, as unemployed. So that's So actually, the number was a lot lower than the 25%.
So you're telling me our government is lying to us?
Well, no, they did, but I'm just saying that our now 9% supposedly percent is a lot closer to those Depression levels.
Well, you know, I think that they're not counting, number one.
Oh, yeah, they're not.
Yeah, they're not counting a whole bunch of people, like the people that go off of the rolls. They're not counting the people that, you know, aren't looking anymore. So I think the Great Depression was over 20%, and you're absolutely right. We are getting to the point where we are going into the Great Depression levels. And that kind of takes me into my first article here. There was an article on CNBC, and, you know, basically, you know, the analyst that was on Wall Street, you know, was baffled by the slow economy. You know, this is on the CNBC website, First in Business Worldwide, by the way, and this was an article by Margot Beller. And, you know, he was having a hard time figuring out why the, you know, the economy was sputtering and the yields are so low. And, gee, I've been told we were in recovery. And, you know, it's absolutely off the charts. It's exactly what we've been talking about with this socialist agenda and the government getting bigger and bigger and the bank and no honest money. So, you know, the last thing that he says here on this article is, he says, interest rates are amazingly low, and that thanks to Ben Bernanke, you know, everything is diving, and we're on the verge of the Great Depression, and the Federal Reserve knows it. Let's see, the Federal Reserve knows that we're on the reserve, you know, the edge of the Great Depression. Wow, gee, they're even saying it on CNBC now. So, you know, if you guys think we're in recovery, you need to drink a little more Kool-Aid, go back and watch some TV, and then, you know.
Everything will be okay. Don't worry.
Everything's just fine.
Yeah, don't worry. That cliff ahead is not a cliff.
No, it's Bikini Bottom. I've been around my grandkids a little too much, I guess, today.
Well, just Bernanke shows you that there's no disconnect between the left and right.
Yeah, right. There's nothing wrong, SpongeBob.
Well, I just don't see it, like, how could Obama even keep in Bernanke if he was Bush's guy? You know?
Well, you know, the thing is, they're all the same guys. It's all about the money. They won't admit. You know, you can tell when there's a problem when they say there isn't a problem. And you can tell there's not a problem when they say there's a problem.
And the more they're trying to tell you there's no problem,
yeah, the more you know you're
in deep
trouble.
Better open your eyes.
That's exactly right. So anyway, the next article that I have here, unless you wanted, you got one you want to go first with, Nate, or?
Well, I mean, I'd like to just bring up, because we're in Libya.
Oh,
and,
there you go.
Dennis Kucinich, he's a Democrat, you know, but he's a constitutionalist. And there are Democrats that aren't liberals, just like there are Republicans that aren't neocons. So there's some good ones. But Kucinich had a bill that was scheduled for a vote on Wednesday, but the House leaders pulled it at the last second. And so I thought that was kind of weird. And then now Boehner has a as a new bill out that's just a diluted version of that. And the resolution states that the president has failed to provide Congress with compelling rational base upon United States national security interests. So basically, yeah, the War of Powers Act.
It's pretty hard to know what's going on, though, when you're playing golf all week.
Right, that's true. But, yeah. I mean, even, what is it, 10, 11 days past the 60 days?
Yeah, I mean, it's like this is completely circumventing the Constitution, breaking the rule of law. And, you know, this guy should be up on impeachment charges, but nobody's even saying much of anything. Isn't that interesting? I mean, it's all good. You know, don't worry about it. Go back to sleep while we start another war without permission from Congress.
Right. According to the War Powers Act, just in case anybody doesn't know, the president has to inform Congress shortly after ordering a military operation and then seek their approval within 60 days.
Yeah.
But no president has acknowledged that. They are legally required to do it.
I guess the fact is that, oh, you know, the left will come back with, gee, George Bush did it, and Ronald Reagan did it, and Herbert Walker did it. Well, yeah, okay, and they should have been impeached as well.
Right.
You know, I mean, you don't, you know, two wrongs don't make a right here, and that's the problem, is everybody's so used to pointing at each other instead of pointing at the people who are breaking the law that, you know, they're not holding anybody accountable because they're on the left-right program a little too hard.
And that's what I don't. Where are these Code Pink, and where are these huge war protesters that we were having during the Bush, and rightly so, during the Bush era? Where are these guys at now? I mean,
they're on the golf course.
Are they caddying for him or something?
I think they're cheering for him.
Okay.
You know,
because he's not involved in, they're not involved in Obama's plan or these elites' plan anyway.
So now they're not Code Pink. They're like, you know, Pebble Beach groupies or something. I don't know. Anyway, sorry. Probably shouldn't have said that. Okay, so going right along, the other article that I had that I thought was very important here, are you done with that, Nate, or should I?
Yeah, I mean, no, I just wanted to bring it to the attention, everybody, that there's bills that are being proposed and that they're just silencing everybody, and they're giving you watered-down versions, pretending like they care.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm not stepping over you.
Oh, no, that's cool. We don't want to switch topics too much either.
Yeah, I'm topic, and I'm over on something else really quick right away, so.
Well, yeah, just so you know, though, I mean.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Kucinich, he's a good guy, you know, I mean.
Yeah,
not many.
He kind of looks like Marvin the Martian on, you know, Bugs Bunny, Looney Tunes, you know. He's always...
Sometimes.
You expect him to go up there and say, I seem to have misplaced my Q37A modulator. <you know?
laughs> Hey, but if you're for the Constitution, you're all right with me.
Anyway, yeah, if he's going for the Constitution, I don't care if he's from Mars. Okay, so what we got here is the next article that I thought was very important tonight is the Utah governor signs the gold and silver legal tender bill. This is totally important, and anybody out there who's been you know, worried about our money and our currency collapsing because of the Federal Reserve and the worldwide economic problem that everybody's printing money out of thin air, on Friday, March 25th, the governor of Utah signed into law HB 317, the Utah Legal Tender Act. I don't know if anybody heard too much about this, but what this law does is it recognizes gold and silver coins issued by the federal government as legal tender, as legal currency in the state. And the coins do not necessarily replace the currency paper, but they may be used and accepted voluntarily as an alternative. Now, what's interesting about that, and I think the big story here that nobody's missing or that nobody's covering, is the fact is that from a tax perspective, you know, you can now go to Utah and exchange your coins and avoid the 28% or 20%, depending on where you're at and what your income is, capital gains tax, because what that does is it doesn't impose a tax on the there's no tax imposed on exchanging one form of legal tender currency for another. So in other words, you know, if you have been you know, saving Silver Eagles since 2000, you know, and you were buying them at $2 a coin, and they're now worth $35 a coin, you could go to Utah and you know, buy groceries, pay property taxes, buy property, and so forth, and there's no gain on that money. That's pretty big stuff. And so I think that, you know, what the good thing about that is people are going to start jumping on board. Do you think that there's going to be a floodgate now to Utah? And is this going to now open up the floodgates for all of the other states to maybe go to a legal tender? Because if our we've got paper money in all these other states that is being devalued, and all the real precious metals are going up and up and up and up. Where do you think that you're going to go to store your precious metals or set up an account or buy things with? Are you going to, you know, stay in California where you're going to pay a huge tax? Or are you going to, you know, go to where the, you know, you're going to get the biggest bang for your coin? And, you know, I know who's going to be the first in line when, you know, we get there. So,
For what was once an inarticulate mass of lifeless tissues, may I now present a cultured, sophisticated man about town. Hit it!
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes, or cutaway coat, perfect fits. Dressed up like a $1 million trooper, trying mighty hard to look like Gary Cooper.
Cooper, Cooper!
Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks or Umbrellas in their mitts.
Yeah, if you guys didn't recognize that one, that's from the great Mel Brooks movie, Young Frankenstein, putting on the Ritz, you know, Frankenstein, you know, dancing and singing.
And I say the masses are economy. We're just, and Bernanke's got trying to get them to become alive.
Do we need to take a short break here, or where are we at?
Yeah, we can take a break now.
Yeah, let's take a little short break here, and then we'll be back with our next guest, is Sheriff Pasanko. He's in the studio. He's in the building. So we'll see you in just a little bit.
We shall not be moved except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll cop to you and stand up.
Have you been thinking about installing solar power system for your home or office? Maybe you looked into solar power a couple of years ago and thought it was way too expensive. Hi, I'm Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables, and I have great news. The cost of a solar power system has dropped dramatically in the last 2 years, and the federal tax credits have increased to 30% of the cost of a system. Now is a great time to give solar a closer look. The news is full of warnings about the cost of energy going up soon, and the best way to keep your cost of energy cheap and stable is installing solar power. If you talk to us, we answer all of your questions, explain how solar works, and how it will affect your monthly bill. For a free in-home consultation, please give us a call, 524-9652, or email dennis@westcoastsustainables.com.
Hi, this is Robert from Music by Robert. I've done over 1,000 events from weddings to birthdays to anniversaries right here in the North State. Hey, what's a party without your favorite music? Let me tailor a special event for you by being the MC that everyone will talk about. Why? Because it's Music by Robert. Call me at 347-4500 and let's celebrate. That's Music by Robert. Call 347-4500.
Advanced soil stabilization using Technosoil for dust control on driveways, roads, parking lots, and pathways. Advanced soil stabilization also installs crushed stone driveways. Call Todd Sykes for more information at 530-549-4801. Advanced soil stabilization is green friendly and eliminates dust.
He rode a blazing saddle, he wore a shining star. His job to offer battle to bad men.
Yeah, we're back here. This is KCNR 1460 Radio. We have our next guest in the studio with us. You probably guessed by the music that we got the one and only Sheriff Tom Pasanko with us here. How you doing, Tom?
Good evening. How are you, Mark?
Very good, very good. So the question I have here for you is, you know, we want to talk about the prisoner release, you know, that's coming up, that's been mandated by the Supreme Court. And, you know, what do we need to know about that? And, you know, what do you think the consequences are going to be? And do we need to worry about protecting ourselves, you know, as this is happening?
Very good question. This has been probably about 4 to 5 years in the making with it going to the Supreme Court. A number of years ago, it started out in a lawsuit against the state of California, two inmates, Coleman and Pallotta, so it was called the Coleman-Pallotta case. And basically a three-judge panel were hearing arguments from the inmates and from the state regarding the current condition of the state prisons. And they were alleging that the prisons were overcrowded, there was a lack of medical attention, and a lack of proper housing where inmates were sleeping on the floor in gymnasiums. And the prison system was designed for slightly over 100,000 inmates.
Wow.
And at the time the lawsuit was brought, there was about 175,000 in the prison system. There's around 145,000 right now. So this three-judge panel, as it ground through the years and the arguments, eventually rendered a decision against the state of California and said, yeah, you have to reduce your prisoners. Governor Schwarzenegger appealed that decision. It went before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
The crazy guys.
And then they agreed with the three-judge panel, and then it went before the U.S. Supreme Court, or the Supreme Court of the United States, or SCOTUS for short.
Right.
The Supreme Court also agreed with the appeals court and the three-judge panel and said, hey, state of California, you got to reduce your prison population level over the next 2 years by about 33,000 inmates.
So what do you think about that? Do you think this is a good thing or a bad thing? Or maybe we're charging too many people with crimes? Do we need to expand the prison system? What do we need to do here?
Well, expanding the prison system is very, very expensive. You cannot continue to build prisons just to warehouse people. However, the most violent prisoners and habitual prisoners, inmates, need to be held accountable and incarcerated.
Sure.
Many parole violations are for 90 days or less, where they violated terms of their parole for a technical violation, could be a new crime. And then there's a number of prisoners that are in custody. We refer to them in the law enforcement trade as the three nons: nonviolent, non-serious, and non-sexual in nature, meaning they are not incarcerated for a crime, a sex crime, either
right.
against children or against other people.
Right. I'd consider that a violent crime. Yeah. I guess.
So the state of California, the Governor Brown, is going to ask the three-judge panel for an extension of the 2 years. I'll be very surprised if he gets it, because the three-judge panel has kind of been not too tolerant of the state of California for the amount of years this has drawn out. So over the next 2 years, prospectively, they'll have to reduce their prison population by... doing that, there was another piece of legislation that was just signed by the governor regarding the budget. Now, it was AB, Assembly Bill 109.
Huh.
And 109 is referred to as the realignment bill. And basically, it's pushing a lot of state responsibilities back to the counties and some of it to the cities, but mainly counties. So the three non-parolees will become the responsibility of the county. So those nonviolent, non-sexual, non-serious parolees will now be more than likely supervised by probation. And then when they violate a term of their parole, they can't be returned to prison for that violation. They would have to do that violation in county jail.
Hmm. So maybe work programs or something?
Well, we closed down in Shasta County and many counties throughout the state as well. We closed our work programs
really?
2 years ago because of budget. We got cut about $4 million. We closed the level of our jail, which is about 120 beds. We had to close our work release program, which at one time had about 1,000 people on it. And then since 1992, We closed Crystal Creek under the previous sheriff and our detention annex, and that lost another 160 beds.
How then? I mean, it sounds to me like, how are you going to afford these guys? I mean, it sounds like it's already going down the tubes.
That's exactly right, because the state said, hey, we'll pay you $25,000 a year per inmate. Well, you equate that out to 365 days. That's about $65 a day, $65, $66 a day. Currently, if a parolee is brought in for a parole violation, the state pays us $77 a day. And that doesn't even recoup our full cost for incarcerating that person. Well, so we're already in the hole.
Well, and the state's going right down the tube as well because of the social engineering, in my opinion. I mean, the fact is that the money's not there at the state level. If that runs out, you know, and they, you know, are they going to be able to continue to even fund what they are funding now? I mean, that seems
speculative. I don't think so. They already owe us, the Shasta County, the sheriff's office, they owe us about $150,000 for incarcerating some parolees, you know, for a day or a few weeks.
So they're not paying their bills now.
That's exactly right. Wow. They're behind on them. And then other parts of the county, there's other county agencies, one in particular, the state owes them about $2 million.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And then this is repeated through the other 57 counties in California as well.
So, well, would you say that we need possibly to maybe write new laws? I mean, I know there are a lot of people that are incarcerated for, you know, drugs or, you know, addictions instead. And I know that they
well,
do.
Usually you don't get incarcerated for an addiction, but you can be incarcerated for drugs. So are you saying that if you
maybe
have
help instead?
Well, if you have a pound of methamphetamine, should you be incarcerated or get help?
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah.
You should be incarcerated. If you're under the influence of a narcotic or methamphetamine, that's a crime, but also you could get assistance there. But offenders have to be held accountable for their crimes. There are consequences, and this problem with budgets, with the jails being closed down because of lack of budget, pushing these prisoners out, there's no consequences. And a lot of times the inmates or the criminals, they know that.
Right. Yeah, because they just figure, you know, what the heck, I'm going to go spend a few days in. They're going to rent a room. They're going to let, you know, give me the boot. I'm going to be out back on the street in three or four days a week or whatever. And so back to business. I mean, yeah.
And it's very costly to incarcerate them. There's I think the state spends about $2 billion just on medical care for inmates. In Shasta County, our medical care bill for inmates is about $2 million.
What do you think the answer is here?
I think the most violent people need to be held accountable and answerable for their crimes, and also answerable to the victims. Sometimes victims are speechless because they've been killed by these violent criminals.
Yeah.
But there has to be other programs for the less violent. But there still needs to be consequences.
I think part of it, too, is that, you know, if we would stop following the socialist agenda of, you know, all the programs that we have. I mean, we've got so many programs that we can't fund all these programs. We need to, you know, get back to people being a little more self-reliant and start producing, and that might solve some of the problem. We'd get some revenues back up.
You know, I received some information. I wasn't able to ascertain the validity of it, but about in 2005, the revenue or income for the state of California was roughly about $85 billion. And what do you think it was in 2010?
Oh, I'm going to guess that it was probably half of that.
It was about $85 billion.
Wow.
What put us?
Oh,
into
so it's the same amount of
it's
money.
The same.
It's
what put us into the deficits was deficit spending and all the new programs that put us approximately anywhere from, depending on whose figures you use, about $26 billion upside down. The governor solved about half of that now, but there's still about $12 billion outstanding there.
Wow, so there's obviously going to be cuts, and they've got to figure out which programs are vital and which programs are not.
And that's where the huge argument comes in down in Sacramento, and usually it's along partisan lines.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think that this state's going to implode before it gets better.
One party wants to increase taxes and fees. Another party says, no new taxes. Let's make the cuts and live within our means.
But it ain't going to happen because the spending, if you don't stop the spending, nothing's going to cure the problem, period. I mean, because you can, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much money you bring in. If you overspend it, you're never going to have enough money, and you're still going to be going in debt. So that seems to be the trend. I mean, these guys just keep spending.
Right.
Yeah, and my, you know, I've seen some statistics on tax revenues, and it doesn't matter, this idea that you're going to raise revenues to the point where you're going to cover the budget is not true either, because what happens is the more of these social agendas that you create, the less your revenues are, because you got more people on the dole and less people producing. And so it really doesn't make the, if you start taxing every rich guy in California at 100% or the nation, it really doesn't see a very big increase in the tax revenue, because there's not that many of them.
It doesn't necessarily come across for, quote, the rich guy.
Right.
Their biggest tax base is middle-income America.
Well, they always claim that it's the rich guys, but the rich guys is me and you about 90% of the time, because their definition of rich is anybody making over $40,000 a year.
Just about. It makes a big impact on those people, the working person.
Right.
It's the middle class. And so then there's more and more people on these entitlement programs that aren't returning income or taxes back to the programs. And and you're getting a smaller group of people that are being taxed.
I personally think they just need to cut out any unnecessary programs, period. And is that going to be painful? Absolutely.
Well, the problem is how do you define unnecessary? And that's where all the arguments in Sacramento. What about kids? What about teachers? What about schools? What about mental health programs? What about drug programs? And the list can go on and on.
Well, the problem is that they're all going to get cut if we don't do something different. So we've got to make those hard. Are they going to be able to do it on a from a political angle? I doubt it.
Like they were looking at approximately $506 million being cut from public safety, and those are state programs that city police and county sheriffs receive for a variety of programs. Some of them are to monitor sex offenders. Some are for rural counties that don't necessarily have a lot of revenue coming in. Others are for gang enforcement. And all that adds up to $506 million. In Shasta County, that's about $1.5 million for the sheriff's office, about $1 million for the probation department, and about $500,000 for the district attorney. That's about $3 million just for Shasta County. You transfer it to a Southern California agency, it becomes $30 million.
Right.
Those, you take those hits away, those are going to be very much community-felt hits, because they usually equate to deputy sheriffs, probation officers, and prosecutors right in the community.
Well, they always go after the services we need the most first instead of going the other way around with it, because, you know, when we talk about, you know, necessary services. I mean, I got an email a few weeks ago that showed all of the different departments in the state of California. It was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, this page, you just scroll down for, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, all the different agencies I've never even heard of. We don't even know what half of them do, and once they start funding them, you can't even
now,
stop.
Now, to the benefit of Shasta County, 2 years ago, the sheriff's office, we took a $4 million hit. We ended up closing a floor of the jail. We had to lay off some deputy sheriffs. But 6 months later, the revenues still weren't coming in. The county stepped up and put in about $3 million for public safety, DA, probation, sheriff. We got about 1.5 of that. So that was actually a good decision they had made to make the cuts then. Right. And even then, the revenues didn't come in. This year, the county has stepped forward for the public safety agencies, sheriff's office included. And for the sheriff's office, they kicked in about $1,250,000, $1.25 million, because we were going to be about $1.9 million short because of these vehicle license fees that part of that $506 million.
So why is it, with it's not talking about the federal government, if we're talking about the state government, why is it they're always trying to hit the military or trying to hit the police?
Yeah,
like Rowley Sally saying, it's just so we feel it, so the taxpayers feel it.
Yeah, because that's when we talk about the public safety services. I mean, we need to fund the fire, we need to fund the sheriffs, we need to fund the police, and there's certain things that are absolutely critical to, you know, the public safety, but those are the ones that they usually go after first.
It's right in the California Constitution that the first responsibility of government is priority towards public safety. And Ronald Reagan said it, that government's first responsibility is protecting the citizen, public safety.
Yeah, we seem to have gotten away from that. I mean, I hate to get off track, but I mean, look at Arizona. You know, they start trying to protect the public, and the federal government steps in and tries to squash the fact that they're trying to uphold the federal government's laws in the first place. So it's a problem. I agree, but that's what they seem to be the trend. When I say we need to get in and cut some of these dumb social programs.
You know, a couple years ago, Sacramento County Sheriff's Office laid off about 130, 140 deputies. There was other counties up and down the state that laid off deputies. Parts of closures of the jails this year. It's looking like up and down the state, layoff notices have already been issued in a number of cities for police officers, 180, actually 280, one in the Bay Area and one just a couple hours south of us. One in the Bay Area, 300 police officers were given layoff notices. Sacramento's looking like they might have to again, and this is getting repeated because... Yeah. of the lack of revenue and funding for public safety.
Yeah, they've got the funds diverted to a lot of these other programs, and they need to stop it. I personally think that they should take, like, the marijuana laws, and I know that people don't agree with me on this one, but I think they need to decriminalize it because everybody who's doing... And I'm not saying that you should drive a car or give it to kids. I'm saying that there's adults out there. I think they need to do it just like the Prohibition era, and that would save a lot of effort and time going after those guys. And if you did that, you'd stop the Mexican nationals coming in and a lot of other problems. That's my personal opinion, because there's a lot of money.
One of the problems is it is a gateway drug, and it can lead to other things. Just as alcohol can lead to alcoholism and other drugs, does everybody that drink is an alcoholic? No, absolutely not, and nor does it lead for everyone to that drinks becomes an alcoholic. But some people are more susceptible to those addictions than others.
Well, but and you're never going to solve that problem, and the law's never going to solve that problem, I believe, because the thing is on alcohol. I mean, it's legal, but is everybody an alcoholic? No.
But do you want to add one more thing to the social fabric of problems? Sure, alcohol's legal, and tobacco's legal. Look at all the health problems and addiction problems
that we have. I agree.
How many billions are spent on trying to kick the smoking habit? How many billions are spent on alcohol-related deaths, medical problems?
You're making my point for me because it's still they're still doing it no matter
what.
True,
but now if you legalize, say, marijuana, then that adds one more mix to it. And then 10, 20 years down the road, we'll have a lot of medical problems that are going to be the responsibility of who?
We're going to have them anyway. They're already doing it anyway.
I think you'd have it more so.
I seriously doubt it, but we probably have to agree to disagree.
Well, let me chime in. I would think that it's just ultimately up to the individual's
freedom. That's what
freedom
I think.
To choose. And then, but as soon as he does start hurting other people or stealing for it, then he gets in trouble. But, I mean, an adult, I think, you know, there should be kids'
laws.
So
what about the person that chooses to drink, then he drives and kills an innocent family?
Well, absolutely.
Then he
should be held accountable. I think you should always be held accountable for your actions, especially if they hurt anybody else, period.
Now, in the Netherlands, Amsterdam, they had a pretty lax take on drugs and basically decriminalized a lot of drugs there.
Right.
They're in the process of the pendulum is swinging back to criminalizing them because they basically that they had a bunch of population of a lot of drug addicts and non-producers. And so they're saying that, hey, that didn't work well.
I think it all comes down to the non-producers. I think that social programs are probably more the problem, in my opinion. But let's move on with that one. We're not going to. Do we have a caller on the line?
Yeah, we have Terry on the line.
Okay, very good. Terry, you're on the line. How you doing? Tom's right here.
I'm doing good. How you doing, Tom?
Hi, Terry. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, listen, thank you for what you do, and thank you for being the sheriff that most people probably want.
Oh, thank you very much.
We got to agree with that one. Okay. We like
no
Tom
kidding.
A lot.
I mean, really. You know, you guys are talking about the drug laws and all that sort of stuff, but really what it amounts to is that that law enforcement and that government agencies work hand-in-hand with people. And when you look at this, I know that you've been great about CCWs, as far as those law-abiding citizens have the right to have a concealed weapon to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You've been wonderful about explaining to people what they need to do in case there is an intruder. I've heard a story that you've told about pepper spray for young women if there's a problem, and you advocate that. I think that's great.
And it gives them a choice to where maybe not everybody feels comfortable possessing a firearm or having the ability to take someone's life. Or it may be a situation that maybe lethal force can't be used, So pepper spray or a taser gives them other options, other alternatives other than lethal force.
And, you know, the thing is I really like that. I actually got a phone call from my daughter, who's down in Los Angeles going to school, and her fiancé had got her some pepper spray and had talked to her about hearing some of those things and those comments and types of comments that had made by good enforcement officers like yourself. But the challenge is that as the sheriff's department works hand in hand, I live in the city, and I know that I had to, like, almost, go into great depth to find out that we actually still do have, and I hope people listening hear this, we actually do have Neighborhood Watch still.
Yeah.
Because there was a radio program that had a police officer on that said it had been dispelled. And I know
we have a lot in the county, and Peter Hansen is the chief of police for Reading PD, and he is a great guy.
Oh, he's a great guy.
We have a great working relationship with him and Reading Police.
Sure, and he's a great guy and everything, but the problem is that if that's what's going out there, and we have different people that are, it's sort of like the idea of working hand in hand is, it'd be nice if RPD would come out and say, hey, you know, we do have a Neighborhood Watch program, maybe put it in the paper, maybe do something to say, hey, folks, we want to work with you, rather than, basically you people need to be understanding that we'll take care of you.
You know what there was before Neighborhood Watch?
Pardon me?
You know what there was before Neighborhood Watch?
What?
Ozzie and Harriet. When you go back to the 1950s, everybody knew who their neighbor was. They would watch out for their neighbor. Oh, we're going on vacation next week. Will you mind watching to see if there's any strange vehicles over there? And then later, once we got into more of an urbanized society, we grew away from knowing who our neighbors were and what was going on in our busy lifestyle. So now Neighborhood Watch is kind of bringing that back to bring people together.
Yeah, the point is, I don't mean to interrupt, but the point is that they not only are not advocating it, they didn't even, there was actually a police officer that went on the radio and talked about that the program had been cut, and Peter Hansen had to clarify that.
Right. Every year I know that Reading Police has participated in National Night Out, and that's in August, in which blocks of neighborhoods try and get together, have a little barbecue and meet one another, and
great
try
idea.
And be more aware of that. And we also do it some in the more neighborhood areas of the county that aren't spread out, some more of the subdivisions and stuff that are in the unincorporated area.
I guess the point is that it's nice that the county does that. I think as just a law-abiding citizen in Reading, I would like to see the police do that
mm-hmm.
in partnership with the community and law-abiding citizens to partnership with them.
You know, another thing that they used to have at the police department was a neighborhood policing unit. And those officers
right.
would have give some special attention to our neighborhoods that were having problems. But unfortunately, they went the way of the budget knife.
Is there any way that we could actually get involved and help with promoting more people involved in this? Because it seems to me that you guys are going to need more help as time
mm-hmm.
goes by. You know,
The sheriff's office, we have neighborhood watch programs, and we have a liaison that comes out. And if you want to get some of your neighbors together, you can have this person come out, and he explains Neighborhood Watch, and they can give our Arnie Britton a call, and he's at 347-3621, and he'll come and meet with you. We also have in the county Citizens Volunteer Patrol. We call them CVP. Arnie is also, the coordinator for that. And that's just one step larger than Neighborhood Watch. You're watching your community, and they have some patrol
awesome.
Cars that they go out, and they become our eyes and our ears for the sheriff's office of reporting suspicious activity, checking on people's homes that maybe are on vacation, and doing that. And that's all part of the volunteer program, and we have them in Old Shasta, City of Shasta Lake, Shingletown, Burney, Fall River, Cottonwood, and Happy Valley all have Citizens Volunteer Patrol. And we even have them on Shasta Lake, the lake itself, and they're out there and patrolling and helping keep people safe and doing voters assist out there and everything.
You know, and that's great, and that's exactly what RPD should be doing. But I know that was also suggested on the radio program that that I listened to, and that it didn't seem like there was that much. It didn't seem like the chief wanted to do that. And to me, I'm just wondering maybe the communication is bad or something. But
I don't know. I know that the chief is a very open person. I think you could probably set an appointment up with him or his command staff
or have,
captains.
Have Mark
and stuff.
Have him on.
Maybe.
I know he
frequents another show here, the Free Fire Radio, Carl and Lynn Vought show in the morning during the weekdays. We've both been on together. We both have been on separately, and we make it a kind of a regular occurrence to be on Free Fire Radio in the mornings.
Very good. Yeah, I'll look into that. I'll see what I can do.
Great. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thanks, Terry.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Terry, for calling in. We totally appreciate it.
You bet.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay.
Well, I've spoke to Sheriff Mack. We know him. We have him come on every once in a while. Have you read his latest book?
What's the title of it?
The Country Sheriff.
I have not.
Or the county sheriffs.
I have not. There is a book out that I got about 2-3 years ago. Somebody had it's like the authority of the sheriff.
Right.
And I
talks
read
about
that.
Tenth Amendment rights.
Rights primarily. Yeah. I've read that.
That's probably the one.
He came here to
about.
Shasta County. Unfortunately, yeah. I had some other commitments. I wasn't able to attend. And then also somebody gave me a DVD recently of a program that he had.
Okay. Yeah. He told me to let you know he'll send you a copy. He said he sent one to every sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd
free,
be great.
So.
Well, I know you're getting kind of on board with the coordination stuff too. So yeah.
That's for the U.S. Forest Service Travel Management Plan. That's basically been infringing and restricting the a citizen's ability to enjoy our great public lands, not only up here in Shasta County, but in several places throughout the United States. And basically, what they're doing is closing roads. U.S. Forest Service roads, closing them for vehicle traffic or mixed use, an off-road vehicle like a quad runner. And so they're gating roads up. And so that's going to restrict people's ability to access our public lands that we pay for to maintain. And also, do you think the criminals, the marijuana growers, do you think they're going to abide by that lot gate?
Oh,
they're gonna,
of course.
They're going to go behind there and grow more dope.
Mexican nationals, that's the problem, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're running out of time here, and I want to thank you for coming in, Tom. And, you know, I want to invite you back sometime.
You
because,
bet.
Like I say, I think you're great great coming in here and speaking and talking to us and all that good stuff. And, you know, it was good talking to you, but I wanted to get a few things in because we're running out of time. So thank you very much, sir.
You're very welcome. You take care.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. The things I wanted to cover here is that, you know, we got Reading Tea Party Monday night, 6 p.m. at 2570 Bonneview Baptist Church. We the People Radio every Sunday morning, 8 to 10. And you can go to readingteaparty.com if you want to get involved. We need you to get involved. You need to do something. Go to a tea party meeting. Check out the website. Start your own tea party. Do something. Talk to your neighbors. Store food. Buy silver and gold and get out of the fiat paper money. And we will soon be having a website up, Sovereign Minds. We're working on that right now. And our next week's guest will be Terry and Sally from the Tea Party to explain to us what the groups are doing. I'm going to leave with one thing, and then I'll turn over to Nate. Men fight for liberty and win it with hard knocks. Their children brought up easy, let it slip away. Poor fools and their grandfather and their grandchildren are once more slaves. That was D.H. Lawrence, American Classic, 1922. Go ahead, Nate.
Well, just first of all, I want to say Thomas Jefferson said the Tenth Amendment is the foundation of the Constitution.
Absolutely.
And so,
totally agree.
So state rights, and then Sheriff, you're our ultimate power in our county. You're our protector, my friend.
Thank you.
And we love you, man. All right, and so I'd just like to thank our sponsors, Team Quest. You can train anything, get in shape, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, all that good stuff. You can reach Carlos, the owner, Black Belt, at 646-7346, and he can hook you up on a good plan that'll get you in shape. Or, if you're already in shape, he can help you out and get you further. He can get you, not a black belt, but he can promote you. So, also, we have Advanced Soil Stabilization. They use Technosoil for dust control on driveways, roads, parking lots, and pathways. Also, they install crushed stone driveways. You can call Todd Sykes at 530-549-4801 for more information. Advanced Soil Stabilization is green friendly and eliminates dust. But, yep, so that's the end of our show. We want to make sure.
I think we should end with the last 10 seconds of the Blazing Saddle thing.
All right.
I think that would be great.
Get out to the tea party, everybody.
Yeah, come out to the tea party.
Shingletown Tea Party Tuesday at 6 p.m., Black Butte School.
Yeah, I'll be up there. So,
all right.
Yeah, very good. Anyway.
Well, good show, Mark. Good
thanks
show,
a lot.
Sheriff.
All right, very good.
Thanks.
All right, 30 seconds in. I guess we're at the end. Go ahead and do the Blazing Saddle thing. I think that's a great deal.
It's your theme song now. Every time you come on.
I think it has Yippee-Ki-Yay.
We rode a blazing saddle. He wore a shining star. His job to offer battle to bad men near and far.
I thought that kid.
We are building up the new world. Do not sit idly by. Do not remain neutral. Do not rely on this broadcast alone. We are only as strong as our signal. There is a war going on for your mind. If you are thinking, you are winning. Resistance is victory. Defeat is impossible. Your weapons are already in hand. Reach within you and find the means by which to gain your freedom. Fight with tools. Your fate and that of everyone you know depends on it.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM. The home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta, Redding.